Lettuce.
Well, 2019 is almost over, everybody. And Beep Beep Lettuce, all four hosts are here. And we're going to do a little bit of a retrospective on what 2019 meant to us.
Yeah, rest in shit. This year fucking sucks.
This year was great.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun.
I love this year.
I really enjoyed 2019. I got a lot out of it.
2019, a year that will live in infamy.
It will?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I mean, like 80 or 90% of the Beep Beep Lettuce episodes that have ever happened in
2019. That's true. Most of our whole career as podcasters has been in 2019.
Yeah, but it's not going to stay in 2019. We're going to go until 2050 when we're going to all die in the revolution.
We're building, folks.
We're already podcasting in 3019.
What else did 2019 give us? Really? Be honest.
Baby Yoda?
Yeah, we had that's the infamy is Baby Yoda. The cutest animal of all time.
I love Baby Yoda.
I love 2019. We got Baby Yoda. We got concentration camps for children.
Yes, we got Trump. More Trump.
Mm-hmm. More of
that's
Trump.
Great.
Yeah, that was bad.
You know, he was bad in like 2016, 2017, 2018. 2019 is when he really kicked into gear.
He's really firing on all cylinders.
I was okay with him until now.
That's where you draw the line.
Listen, when we voted for Trump, it was fine. Now,
I didn't expect all this. I thought he was just going to like lower taxes
a
little bit.
My protest vote, I voted in an imaginary ticket of Trump Harambe.
The most woke ticket of all time because one of them is non-human.
You can bring yourself to vote for Trump, but not for Pence. I love that.
Yeah.
That's big energy.
I wrote in Trump, even though he was on the ballot.
Write in Bernie Trump. Can you do that?
Trump Bernie, yeah. No, 2019 has been a crazy year for us, having done a whole show for a year, which we've never done before, and having a lot of people listen to it. And that's been really fun and really great. And we really appreciate everybody who's been here with us for the whole thing.
Yeah.
And everybody who's new too, but especially the older.
If you started listening in 2019, you're in.
Yeah.
If you started listening in 2018, wow, fuck off. our minds have no object permanence. 2018 doesn't exist to us.
The so newer, fuck our OG fans. Fuck people who listened to us when we had 15 subscribers and the audio sounded like shit. Fuck them. Just fuck our new fans.
Yeah, we only fuck with our new fans.
Yeah, SMH, these fake friends. Look, if they weren't fake friends, why would they be faking for so long?
That's right. So this...
My brain just like had like a gear skip when I was like, wait, how does that take make sense? But then it made sense.
That's right.
It didn't. But anyway, this episode, we are going to be looking back on our year.
It's a retrospective.
We're going to look back on what happened this year. We're going to look forward towards what's going to happen next year. But first, we're just going to talk about how cool we were this year.
That's right.
My favorite thing to talk about.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about counting down the top 10 funniest jokes that we made.
Or for our guests. Yeah. And it's
right, or our guests. The best things on our own show.
At the very end, we will award the best riff of the year, the coveted Riffy Award.
That's right. It's basically a podcast clip show.
Honestly, this sounded less lame when I was thinking it up.
No, it's cool.
Yeah. See, here's how you make it sound cool.
Everybody's favorite episode of an anime series is the flashback episode where they're obviously trying to save a bunch on budget and they just rehash stuff that was already in the show and they recut it together. That's everybody's favorite part.
It's also everyone's favorite episode of Star Trek The Next Generation when Riker is dying and you see a flashback of literally only two seasons of show.
That's what's actually happening. Todd is dying and he's having a dream about all the risks in the show.
Yeah,
all of our listeners are part of my deathbed DMT flash of imagination.
Yeah, it's waking life, but it's waking Todd.
Yeah.
It's waking life with a lot less Alex Jones, which, honestly, thank you for that, 2019.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
It's a good movie. All right,
it's time to count down our top riffs of the year. These were all nominated by our listeners, so if you nominated, thank you. And then we decided which ones were our favorites. So at number 10.
So this one was the very first time that John and me and Chris were all in the same room.
Yeah.
It was not the first time we were all in the same room together, which also happened this year, which was a good time. But this one was accidentally killing a cop and pretending that to be them on their radio.
I think not accidentally killing them. They just drop dead and you're like, oh my God, I'm so lucky. And then picking up their radio. and going, I'm gay.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I love it.
I just love the idea of like your mind reeling and you're trying to figure out what to do with the situation where a cop is just like, he was about to harass you or whatever, and instead he just has a heart attack and keels the fuck over right there.
Yeah, what else do you do but talk to whoever's on the other end of that microphone? Especially as podcasters.
Obviously, if you do this, make sure you you put on a glove so your fingerprints aren't on the, you know.
Make sure you take the officer's service weapon first.
You gotta return it to the proper place, which is, you know, at
your house.
All right, coming in at number 9, it's Trump teaches Barron to shave.
So this riff came from when Gillette was having a normal one.
They're being woke.
Yes, being very, very woke and making an advertisement where that was basically shave away the toxic masculinity.
What was the takes even? It was like, don't street harass women. Women can play sports.
I don't think that was one. It was mostly don't rape. Okay. And
it's a bold stance. I'm not surprised they took that stance.
Don't beat your son for being queer.
So wait, today.
Oh wow.
Remember that one?
They made the point by saying that in the ad they said, please do not use our shaving razors as a knife to threaten someone.
Yeah. Do not swear on our timeline.
Yeah.
do not perform toxic masculinity on our Twitter. And this one was basically, what if Barron was trying to shave and Trump saw that he had a Gillette razor. And Chris played Trump.
Yeah,
and did
Trump
a great job.
Like, what are you doing? It's only for soy boys. Put that down.
Yeah, what is Trump actually use to shave, you guys think?
Trump has somebody shave him, because the last time he tried to use a straight razor, he almost fucking killed himself.
Yeah,
it's probably
true.
Made of gold, but like for no reason. Like, it's actually 24 karat gold, so it's not sharp at all because it's too soft. But he doesn't care.
Yeah. And he's just incapable of using it because his hands are constantly shaking from decades of Sudafed abuse. Mm.
My guess is that Trump can't grow a good beard and realized that at some point, you know, just whenever it was cool to not have a beard or whatever in the 80s or whatever, he had electrolysis and removed all of the hair from his face. There's no way he's a man who wakes up in the morning and shaves.
Yeah.
It's impossible. No.
Yeah, I buy that.
He doesn't even ever have a shadow or anything. You're right. The only reasonable solution is he was just like, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm going to just get it permanently removed.
Yeah,
I feel like maybe as a side effect of all the spray tans, he's just killed all his follicles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I always thought maybe it was like wears enough makeup and spray tan that you like can't see his 5 o'clock shadow. But that makes more sense, that it's not there.
No, I don't think it's there, because we know for a fact that he had surgery to make it look like he wasn't balding.
Right, he had hair plugs or something, right?
No, he had an insane surgery where they like pull up the sides of his scalp to the middle and like sew it all together. So that's why it's all like weirdly coiffed to like sort of cover it up, because that's actually in his ex-wife's rape allegation was during that time he was in a very bad mood because he was in so much pain from the weird hair surgery he got.
Jesus.
That he attacked her and raped her.
Jesus Christ.
So cool guy.
Well, that reminds
me. That was because
me.
Gillette hadn't put their ad out yet saying don't rape.
That's right.
If he'd seen that, he would have known
Gillette,
that too.
If Gillette had only had the courage to put this out before, maybe who knows how many countless sexual assaults Gillette could have prevented.
Well, that just reminds me that I have to go to the store and pick up every drug known to man that will prevent me from going bald.
Yeah, get some Rogaine.
But speaking of Rogaine, I don't know why I said that. Coming in at number 8, Bryn, this was one of yours, right?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite riffs we did, mostly because I feel like I hadn't slept for 32 hours or something. I was like jet lagged or something. And this was called a yeet infection. This was the what if Zoomers were inside of your house.
What I really like about this bit is it's a great pun. You know, it's got a really bold statement with the pun, and it flows really well. It's relevant to 2019, you know.
Yeah.
Zoomers, Zoomer culture, you know, Supreme clothes, vaping, and there's also the fact that it's a pun on Yeast infection. This is a great all around. This is a great all around riff. You know, I think I hold it in high esteem.
Yeah, I do want to apologize because after this riff came out in the episode entitled "A Yeast Infection," our listeners informed me that a yeast infection actually is the same exact kind of yeast that's in bread. Apparently, it's not different.
Mm. Oh, you said it was different, and they said it wasn't?
I said it was different, and you guys thought it must have been the same because of the both yeast.
I, of course, am a male ally, so I just assumed that you were right.
Right. I mean, we all assumed I was right, and I was wrong. So I apologize to the listeners and to the hosts that I did not know enough about yeast to know that was true. But
so wait, all those times you said, GM, let's get this bread, you're faking it?
I was faking it. No, I don't know anything about bread. But yeah, I think Zoomers did have a very good 2019.
They really did. I think, honestly, the Zoomers, the breakout generation of 2019.
Yep.
Yeah. I feel like Gen X was like trying, like, because they had Kamala Harris and Cory Booker. Beto, I think, is Gen X. Like, Gen X maybe had the worst, because baby boomers, everyone knows, it's like a go-to. They're terrible. Gen X really was like, hey guys, we've been here for a while too.
Yeah,
we're terrible. And we have terrible ideas.
The boomers had to have had the shittiest year out of everybody.
I don't know. I feel like the boomers on paper had the shittiest year, but Gen X fell so far from their facade of being cool that they got lumped in with the boomers. And I feel like they're feeling the sting a little more.
Gen X had probably like, the boomers probably had the shittiest things happen to them, but Gen X probably had the worst year because nobody even thinks about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think that there was a certain sense that Gen X was still sort of the counterculture a little bit.
Mm.
In 2018, up until 2018, there was a sense that, like, if you thought of Gen X, just the name, you know, you thought of like some sort of yellow black X on a yellow background or something. Yeah. It was like they were all sort of grunge. And then millennials, all we had was pictures of us, you know, on Time Magazine being the me generation or
planking.
Whatever. yeah, fucking planking.
No, I mean, like, what Gen X is literally, like, every single member of Gen X is somebody who listened to Nirvana once, got an ankle tattoo of a dolphin, and now works in HR. That's every single one of them.
Exactly.
Gen X was really done in this year with all of the different, like, old punk, like, frontmen and stuff from bands coming out with really, really bad takes.
Mm.
Yeah. Right? Like, everything that legitimized their culture as being counterculture was kind of, like, laid bare as just being a corporate money grab coded in, like, countercultural aesthetics. And I think that that really has got a sting. Like, if you are a boomer guy who's like, oh, yeah, man, the Sex Pistols are the greatest band of all time, and then the guys from the Sex Pistols are like, hey, we really like Donald Trump, it's like, oh, that lands a blow on your credibility.
Right. And, you know, Bad Religion put out an album this year called Age of Unreason. No one cared. It was really bad. And it is incredibly lib and cringe.
Hell yeah.
So, I love that. You know, the Gen X really took a hit on this one. But, I mean, boomers did have Okay Boomer. So I think it's all close. I think we all are kind of, but I would say
everyone,
if anyone won 2019, it's Zoomers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's really interesting too, is the way that everybody who's like a boomer or a Gen Xer really got owned over Greta Van Fleet. Right. Because those kids that band, they're not boomers or Gen X themselves, but they're like note for note imitation of Led Zeppelin fell so flat on so many people that like you would get roasted for saying that you liked Greta Van Fleet for like a solid couple months on Twitter.
Thanks a fucking lot, John. I had actually successfully forgotten that that band existed until just now.
Well,
so fuck yourself.
Yeah. 2020, number seven. They put out their copy of Led Zeppelin 4. They're going to like make their version of that.
It's going to be amazing.
Wait, it's going to be, Led Zeppelin has all lyrics about Lord of the Rings? Mm-hmm. Greta Van Fleet's going to have all lyrics about Harry Potter.
Oh, that'd be so funny.
Wow,
I hope they
that's
do that.
So
in the darkest
good.
Depths of Gringotts.
I solemnly swear I'm up to no good. It's going to suck.
And
dick.
It's going to be just as anti-Semitic.
Oh, yeah. So,
well,
without a doubt.
Yeah. It's going to all be about bankers.
But coming in at number seven, John, this one's the only yours.
Yeah, the when I said that Tales from Sonic has big Mormon energy, which I stand by, or like if not Mormon, Seventh Day Adventist or something else where it's like a weird offshoot of Christianity verging on like being a little bit too cult like for even like mainstream Christians. That's how I see Tales from Sonic, because he's always like the straight laced, like mild mannered. He's like your mom's favorite of your friends when you were growing up in
high school. Who's always the worst somehow. I feel like whoever your parents liked the most when you were a kid always was like secretly...
Turns out to be Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's exactly it, though. I mean,
your parents have bad taste. So are you saying that Sonic is a Republican?
Sonic is... I'm saying like Tails is probably a Republican, but he just feels like afraid to talk about it. And at the end of the day, he's one of those guys who's like, you can't go out in public and be a conservative anymore. These SJWs on college campuses are stifling us. But he has to save it for the message boards because he's like too chicken shit to say it in real life. Right.
Tails has a radio show and a comedy special called Triggered.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it's just him with like duct tape over his mouth. These liberal SJWs keep trying to make me eat chili cheese dogs.
I feel like he wouldn't be that aggressive because he's so sweet looking. He's like one of the kind of guys who has a comedy special that's called like The Weakest Generation or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Tails would be like Aziz Ansari when he did his like apology tour.
Yeah, yeah.
Special,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Where he's like, I'm just wearing a t-shirt. I didn't rape, but I'm sorry that people thought I did.
My favorite thing about Aziz Ansari's comeback special is how he screams the N-word like 6 times. Go back and watch it. He does.
Oh, I didn't finish it. It was
That's wild.
I'm going to not watch it and believe you.
Yeah, I believe you.
I honestly think he was trying to go for like the, you know, a completely different demographic, which is why he was screaming the N-word.
He just pivoted rightward. He was like, I can do what Kramer from Seinfeld was incapable of.
Kramer walked so I could run.
All right. Coming in at number 6. From the Joker episode, Rodney Dangerfield knockout gamed my wife. Oh, no. Rodney Dangerfield says... Knockout game my wife, please.
Knockout game my wife, please.
I think this is because at the beginning...
Was this even one of us?
I think maybe it could have been...
it might have been Patak.
Could have been, yeah, Alex or Jeremy.
That was a great episode. Yeah.
But it's like at the beginning of Joker, I think we all joked that he gets knockout game because a bunch of kids just like beat his ass for no reason.
He literally does get knockout game.
He does, yeah.
There's no other... Why do they want his sign? It's not like they rob him at all.
Yeah, they break his sign even. They just want to mess with him for no reason.
Joker, probably the definitive movie of 2019.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I still hate it. I think it's
bad. Yeah, I hate it, but I have to say you're right. That's like saying Donald Trump was like person of the year.
Yeah, 2016. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come I guess around on Joker. I mean, look, it definitely had its flaws, but it certainly wasn't the worst movie to come out in 2019.
I mean,
no, Cats was the worst movie to come out in 2019. Sure.
Well, definitely.
Joker was at least in the better half of the movies that came out in 2019.
No, I would disagree.
I'm not even a movie guy. Of the major box office
motion pictures, it was definitely in the upper half.
Yeah, it definitely outclasses the Marvel universe without a doubt.
Honestly, I probably enjoyed Endgame. Was that this year?
Endgame was dog shit.
I think earlier this year.
The only good superhero movie is Mystery Men.
Literally every Marvel superhero movie is at... objectively bad.
That's not
Joker
how that works.
Is a superhero
but
movie.
I think they're more fun and generally like just has a sense of fun that Joker doesn't have. But I think it's politically very confused, like our country.
Mm-hmm. It's the most politically like relevant movie in that it's like so muddled and complex.
But I think it's trying in a very capitalist way to deal with everything that liberals are trying to deal with now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's like a perfect example of all of the sublimation of frustration and like kind of directionless anxiety that the country is feeling. But I don't know if it's necessarily a productive one. It's definitely evocative, though.
Joker,
without a doubt,
at its best, is a cautionary tale of what can happen if you don't have an ideological line.
No, it's a cautionary tale of what happens if you let your friends, when they're depressed, get into stand-up.
That's true.
I was going to say it's about not having access to mental health resources, but that's literally the exact same thing.
I mean, that's true. That's what it. I think Todd Phillips said it was really about. But coming in at number five, this was actually a pretty recent bit. It was one of mine. What if instead of Guy Debord, Society of the Spectacle was written by Guy Fieri?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Flavor Town of the Spectacle. Who wouldn't love that?
This is a primo bit.
I feel like
it's
we didn't even...
You just invented diners, drive-ins, and dives.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's like, you know, one of the most poignant just videos where somebody slaps a song onto a, like a montage that I've ever seen is just Johnny Cash's Hurt playing over Guy Fieri just stuffing his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
With
I've
food.
Seen that.
Oh,
yeah.
But also, like, this year and a little bit last year, recently, people have come around to Guy Fieri. Like, he's a good dude.
I've noticed that.
I've always
that.
Liked Guy Fieri. I can't lie. I've always thought he was a cheese ball. Like, it's easy to make fun of him. Oh, definitely. He looks like he's in Smash Mouth, whatever. But, like, he's never said or done anything I find, like, truly offensive.
I've seen
once.
Every episode of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Is that true?
Is that true?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It rules. It's a great show. I don't think I've seen every episode, but I watch a lot of clips on YouTube.
I've also seen every episode of Cake Boss.
Really?
Okay, yeah. Well, a good show? That's a bridge too far.
John quits the pod. He just hangs up.
All right, I'm going to see you guys later.
See you guys next decade.
I'm going out for smokes.
No.
Yeah, I feel like we didn't really get to the what exactly Flavortown of the Spectacle would be. Because the spectacle, right, is a system of all of the advertisements that capitalism has created, right? Like you're only inside this mediated set of ideas of like you can only, it's basically like early capitalist realism, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's basically They Live, right? Like They Live is like Society of the Spectacle, the film. Because he
basically.
He takes off the glasses or he puts on the glasses. I don't remember.
Yeah, and
puts
them in, on. The case, in the case of Guy Fieri's Flavortown of the Spectacle, when you put on the glasses, you just see the nutrition facts in like a hologram next to the food you're about to eat.
No, you start to see the community value in the food, right? Like you don't have the spectacles on and you're like, oh, this just looks like food. You know, this is something I buy at a supermarket and cook, but you put it on, you put them on and you immediately start to see like the value that it has to people and the way that it brings families together and the
I
way
like that
it like could be used to serve the community and stuff. I think that's what Guy Fieri would really want it to be because, like, you know, to steal a bit from a stand-up special I saw on YouTube, he has a program where he goes around and gives pretzel machines to underserved school districts
Hell
so
yeah.
they can make
he
and
does.
Sell pretzels for fundraisers.
Okay, this is getting way too wholesome. Time yeah. for number four.
Time for some fucked up.
Elizabeth Warren greens the concentration camps.
Oh, that's pretty fucked up.
I think we,
that's
I'm dark. Pretty sure we had this bit when she had her plan to green the military. And
yeah.
We're like, what
yeah.
else could she green? How about, it's because it's like the whole thing with Elizabeth Warren is like she's not going to change anything. She's just going to slap a woke facade on it.
Yeah, yeah, it's not actually going to be a green military. It's going to be a green certified military, which is going to cost even more taxpayer dollars and be mm-hmm. an even bigger sink and accomplish even less.
It'll be organic. It'll be like no yeah. actual...
USDA free-range Boeing 747.
Yeah, free-range tanks. The tanks had lots of room to roam around when they were growing.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah, but I think that really, I mean, like that kind of sums up... That whole riff, I think, really sums up the whole Democratic electorate right now because mm-hmm. it's like everyone is trying to follow the bead here on like the American citizenry being like, we're tired of neoliberalism and we have to move to big promises of like actual democracy.
Yeah.
And they're trying to replace actual like promises of actual democracy with getting stuff or like making things more ethical or these sort of like plan driven ideas. And it's not going to work. But yeah, Elizabeth Warren is kind of one of the worst at doing it because she's the or I guess she's the most evil at doing it.
Yeah, we talked about yeah. this on one of our very earliest episodes, right? You want to negotiate, you go in with the big ask. You don't go in willing to compromise, right? You go in with a gun. You tell them, give us all of your wealth. And you can leave with your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. You essentially stage a revolution and you're like, hey, we're going to bring about full communism right now. And then your material conditions are like, hey, you can't quite do that yet. And then you bargain with them. The former bourgeois are already taken care of, right?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
That's not who you mediate with. That's not who you compromise with. You compromise with like the actual facts of the situation.
Right. So But I mean, it is dark, and concentration camps are something that I don't know if I would have predicted exactly when I was like 10 years ago that by the end of the decade, we'd have America would be doing full on fascism. But I might have.
what the fuck is Guantanamo? I mean, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
America has always detained like people it deems enemies of the state without due process. It's just doing it on a much larger scale now.
Yeah, but
and people are more invested in shining a light on it and talking about why it's evil. Like, this is the kind of thing that 10 years ago they would have been like, oh, we'll get away with that, no problem, when the time finally comes. But people are actually starting to realize how fucked up it is because life is starting to be fucked up for everybody in this country. You know, when you say it's the era of, like, the big ask, I think it really is about to be, because having some kind of semblance of economic justice and like actual like real meaningful social justice, like criminal reform and you know, potentially moving towards prison abolition and stuff, that's starting to impact more and more people's lives as the stratification between the ultra rich and everybody else becomes more and more pronounced.
Yeah. Well, coming in at number three, this is one of yours, John.
Oh yeah.
This is a recurring bit.
Lots of people said this one.
Because Bernie announced that he was launching a Twitch stream, which I had already been saying before then. Like, Bernie needs to get a Twitch and play video games on it. He has not played Crash Bandicoot on it yet. But as per my emailed instructions to his campaign several times over the last year. But hopefully he gets on there and he plays something retro or something relevant pretty soon. Because I've been saying and I stay saying, Bernie Sanders, literally, if you streamed for 2 hours, you could get the presidency. Forget Twitch Prime subs. Forget bits. You know, you could be the president of the United States. And all it would take is for you to hit game over like 6 times in a row. Not a big deal.
Yeah, you don't even have to be good.
Yeah, no, being bad would be better and more endearing.
If you got frustrated, Bernie, they would be way, way more endearing.
Oh, yeah. An angry, like, swearing Bernie, like, how do I get... there's no way to jump over this chasm. The little mask guy keeps saying, Hulamaga, and I don't know what that means.
what about Bernie playing Dr. Mario? He's like, this is just an example of how broken our healthcare system is. I have to take the pills and put them over there. If only the pills were already over there, we could cut out the middleman and cut costs for the healthcare consumer.
I'm just throwing pills at the problem. This is not helping. I'm just giving pills after pills. It doesn't even do anything.
What you have to ask yourself is, why are the viruses coming down at all? Who's putting them in your pills?
what I want you to ask is, would you finish the fight for somebody you don't know?
Yeah, Bernie needs to do that and needs to speed run to the presidency. And we've been joking about that a lot, but I really do think it will help.
Yeah.
I think it would help if he won the presidency, but I also think having a Twitch stream would help him win the presidency.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And, like, literally any random title, like, Bernie plays Goose Game for 90 minutes.
Oh,
that would
dude.
Win him, like, 4 swing states right off the bat.
I mean, it seems like you're joking, but I feel like it's very true. Like, it would
no,
really
I feel,
help.
That's the thing about this. It's a bit, but also it's one I believe in wholeheartedly. Like,
yeah.
There's no tongue-in-cheek element here. I really think that, like, the electoral college can be overcome by gaming. I'm 100% with that.
The best bits are ones that you believe in wholeheartedly, which brings us to our number two, which I think we also all believe in wholeheartedly,
which is
that not only should we punch Joe Biden directly in the dick, we should wage a protracted people's war on Joe Biden's phallus.
John in a tuxedo with tails and gloves on, slow motion walking down the red carpet right into a full-on uppercut into Joe Biden's nether regions.
We're going to give Joe Biden's dick, not Joe Biden, right? We're going to give his dick the Rasputin treatment, which is we shoot it, we tie it up, we dump it in a river, and we cut off his dick's dick.
Yeah.
Oh,
all right.
All while dressed as Captain Falcon, so
yes.
We can yell, Falcon punch.
Yeah, John's wearing that tuxedo, but also like a giant comical white boxing glove that he used to punch him in the dick.
Yeah, well, if you can dial it back to gaming, if you can tie it back to gaming, you'll be able to raise the money to get out on bail from a GoFundMe on Twitter. So that's the eventual goal, is not just to do it, but to get away with it.
Joe Biden is the final boss of Punch Out. or it's just Joe Biden's dick, I should say.
And we couldn't let Joe Biden go from our top 10 best riffs without a bonus, which is, come on, this story, this gaffe, incredible. Just the most incredible gaffe of 2019. We're calling it right now. When Joe Biden, when asked a question about the LGBTQ community in a debate, started talking about gay bathhouses.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot about this.
It's so good.
It's easy to wipe from your mind, but this is big. This is bigger than sucking his wife's finger. This is better than bigger than corn pop. This is big. This is as big as it gets.
It was like he was asked a question about
I think AIDS, maybe, like HIV.
Yeah,
and he was saying like, listen, it's not how it was back in the day. It was all round the clock gay sex and gay bathhouses.
Oh, my favorite part of the bit is I think at one point you go into a Hillary voice.
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. Did I say like I may not be X but I do Y or something? I don't remember.
Something like that.
That shit.
Just chilling in Joe Biden's gay bathhouse.
Yeah, Joe Biden, who at this point, I mean, after the hairy leg thing, and there was something very recently.
Well, that's the whole thing. We're oversaturated. Right, yeah. We're going to start tuning them out.
Yeah. It's an embarrassment.
Like that photograph of him holding a baby by the diaper, but just like his hand is on the whole crotch.
I feel like, oh yeah, why did he do that?
Why not? It's a woke way to hold
why
a baby.
Why does he do anything?
He has
pudding brain.
He's just so simultaneously dumb and evil at the same time. It's really shocking, I think.
Yeah.
God, he did something.
I think one of my favorites, just for how specifically weird and insane it was, is when he was saying that, like, I think about like black parents, that it's like they don't know how to raise their kids. And he was like, turn on the radio, make sure the television, excuse me, the photograph. He literally corrects himself away from saying TV and is like, no, play the phonograph. Make sure the kids hear words.
And there was the one where he was like, poor kids are just as good as white kids
as smart as white kids.
Fantastic.
Oh,
unreal.
That
an
was
incredible
an amazing
brain.
Slip.
But also, I was 4 hours ago, he said that he would consider a Republican vice president.
Oh, that was insane.
That was great. And so, said he couldn't even think of one. He doesn't even have a list.
Yeah, which one?
From.
He just
no, because
he
wanted
consider.
To say John McCain, but then he thought, oh, wait, he's dead.
He got sad.
He definitely did. Yeah. But I think that Joe Biden is, we are mad at him and we want to punch him in the dick because he is sort of the embodiment of this old power structure that has just been creeping along and destroying America for as long as it's been in existence. And I think he is exemplary of someone who is tearing apart the electorate in an attempt to get to hold on to that power. And I think that it's going to be great because I think they're going to do what the Republicans did in 2016 and make everyone hate them. And the only person that will be there to pick up the pieces is Mr. Sanders.
Yeah, because he's not a Democrat, as all of the people, all of the Warren and Biden and Kamala and Buddy Gig supporters in my mentions have reminded me over and over.
Yeah, he's not.
But
a Democrat.
I mean, that's like his strength. Because like I was talking to the fucking PPG security because I work next to that arena, and the lady was telling me, she was like, you know, I voted for Trump, and I was like, oh really? I'm a Bernie Sanders guy, and she's like, you know, if he got the nomination, I would probably vote for him. He's
Hell
not
yeah.
a Democrat, and it's like that's a real fucking phenomenon that's widespread across the country. Tons of people's tinfoil hat uncles would rather vote for Bernie Sanders than Donald Trump.
That's absolutely true.
And coming in at number one, our number one riff of the year, the riff that had me literally incapable of breathing. We did an episode on Joker. We mentioned it earlier in this pod.
Yeah, it's coming
and
back.
It's kind of a really long episode because we go over the whole movie, but we had our friends from Ballin' Out Super on the pod. And those boys, they really made us laugh. They brought the riffs, and one of the best riffs. They were telling us a story. What was the story?
I think Jeremy was saying he had a friend who, if he ever wanted to like leave a party in college, he would always take a shit in the sink and then be like, "Guys, I shat in the sink. We have to go," because it's like your friends can't refuse if you've taken a shit in someone's sink. So that was just like his exit move.
And we compared that to the Riddler.
We were saying, yeah, it would be like the Riddler, but he's the Shitler.
The Shitler. But but then he would have to keep a list of all the houses he'd shat in, so he couldn't go back there.
Yeah, and it'd be Shitler's List.
It would be Shitler's List. That's right.
Yeah, that episode, if you haven't heard it, you should definitely listen to. It's one of our best episodes, I think.
That's
my personal.
It's so funny.
This bit, I feel like a lot of the riffs on this list have been there because they sort of are about something important we wanted to talk about this year, sort of looking back. But this is just stupid as hell. Yeah. And it was just funny.
Made us all cry laughing.
Yeah, and I think that's important to remember that sometimes you can just talk about shit and make yourself and your friends laugh.
That's right.
But yeah, thanks to Ballin' Out Super for helping us do one of our funniest episodes.
And thanks to all of our guests from this past year. Come back on.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and Katie Rose Leon, sorry you weren't on the show. You're always welcome if you would like to be on the show. Yeah, so now thank you for listening to the Riffies. Everyone clap.
Clap. I guess we didn't introduce Shitler as the winner of the Riffies, but that's number one riff.
It will be getting a little statue, and we will place it on our mantles.
It'll be the Oscar guy, the little gold Oscar guy statue, but he'll be doing an Upper Decker.
Yeah. Yeah. So now we're going to go ahead and take a look at our favorite stories from 2019 in general, that whether we covered them or not. But what have we been? What do we remember? And what do we think 2019 was all about?
Well, I just want to start off with one that's a little bit more niche than the other ones we were talking about. It's a little bit less, I don't know, politically relevant, you could say. But we covered a story earlier in the year about a man in, I think, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan who went behind the counter at a Subway, made a few sandwiches for some customers, made his own sandwich, took $20 out of the register, and promptly left.
Hell yeah.
Which I just got to say, if anything encapsulates the energy I want to take with me from 2019 going forward into 2020, it's exactly that.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that would happen. That is basically the Joe Pera version of a revolution.
See, it's a fantastic example of mutualism, right. But I could just as easily see this get corrupted where capitalist app psychos would be like, we can make an app that lets people do this. Like, you sign on for a couple hours, it tells you the nearest restaurant that needs low-skilled service work. I could just as easily see this getting dystopic.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And that's why it's important that it comes from a working class place. It has a class character, you could say. You got to make sure that it's in the service of proletarian interests.
That's right. That guy's a real character, and he's got a lot of class.
He's got class, and he's got character.
I mean, it's basically Bender from Futurama, but if he had like a little bit more class awareness.
That's chaotic good right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully in the future, every Subway, it's just like you walk in and make a sandwich yourself, and then, you know, you don't have anything else to do for the rest of the day because work has been abolished.
Try to reimagine restaurants in a way that serves the people.
Yeah. My big thing with Subway is, like, under communism, Subway, the restaurant, would also be combined with Subway, the thing. Like, you...
Yeah, you get to
go... Not only would there be public transportation, but also the people would be fed either by... Yeah. While they're on public transportation or at the stations for public transportation.
Yeah, that's a thing, actually, in China. They're like, the bullet trains have cafeterias and, like, you can order food.
I mean, like, Amtrak has a dining car.
See?
But...
Yeah, but we do it so much worse here.
That's
imagine
terrible.
If you were getting on the Subway and your friend was like, do you want your free Subway sub that you get for riding public transit? And you're like, no, I'm so full of goulash, I just got off a bus.
I don't know if I could fit it. All right. We also wanted to shout out, in general, workers striking. 2019.
Yeah.
All of you had incredible energy this year.
Massive numbers.
Teachers.
Right? Way, way more than any previous year in like a long time, I think.
Massive. Oh, yeah. Strikes. had a great year this.
Look, I just don't think that we should be glorifying working for a capitalist.
Oh yeah. Also, takes about how striking is ableist. Mm-hmm. Also had a great year this year. Yeah.
Listener, yeah, if you see one of these takes on Twitter where somebody's like, actually striking of Amazon or Uber workers is ableist because disabled people need those services, and that person doesn't for a second consider that people with different abilities could make special provisions to allow themselves to also partake in that strike, that person's a dipshit and you should berate them nonstop.
Yeah, you should report them.
Mm-hmm. For ableism.
Yeah, report them for ableism.
Yeah, yeah.
Joker's trick.
Yeah, Joker's trick, a good thing that happened this year.
Oh, yeah. Is that only this year? I don't
yeah,
know.
That was this year. But yeah, I mean, it was pretty incredible to see the energy. You know, obviously, teachers, Anchor Brewing, Stop and Shop. Remember Stop and Shop?
Yeah.
We have Orenstein on to talk about that strike. Amazon had some pretty big strikes. Uber had some pretty big strikes.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely keep this energy up, everybody. I'm sure everyone who is listening to this probably has a job. So, you know, you can be the change you wish to see in the world.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, another thing that happened in 2019 was I officially joined the IWW.
Hell yeah.
And if you have a job, I would encourage you to do it. I just got my card and my little red book and my little yellow book in the mail today. So aww, pretty my stoked rules about that.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
This was also the year when the CIA, or, you know, the U.S. government, not even using the CIA as a mask, tried and failed to do a coup in Venezuela. So that kind of ruled. I mean, it didn't rule that they tried to do it, but it was pretty amazing the solidarity when basically nobody in Venezuela was down for it. Like Juan Guaido had like 50 guys in his squad and just had to, like, you mm-hmm. know, use CIA muscle to even not die. And no one accepted
fucking
it.
Meme of the year was that photo of Juan Guaido in the street, and it had the Snapchat text over it and said, "Mom, can you pick me up?"
Yeah, that absolutely that ruled. Yeah. Unfortunately, later in that year, they successfully did a coup in Bolivia.
That's right.
Yeah. So sort you of win some, you lose some. And you could also consider Brazil's election to be a coup because
it essentially was.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
But I would say,
well, and there was like election tampering in that too. Mm-hmm. But of course, the fucking same electoral authority that called out a supposed tampering in Bolivia would never blink at that.
Absolutely.
I would also say that Bolivia wasn't necessarily successful. Evo Morales did have to leave, but, you know, we just talked about how there's like Bolivia is now like splitting into like a weird, like, democratic zone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For those of you who aren't on the Patreon episodes, we did talk about how there's the Chapare region in Bolivia is basically devoid of a police or military presence right now, and the trade unions there are organizing, like, active armed resistance and forming their own patrols for the streets and basically running the economy and the social life of the region entirely autonomously, which is really, really cool and the kind of thing that you love to see.
We do love to see.
Especially if it could take place in some kind of coalition with maybe a return of the Morales administration.
Right. So I think the war is not over. The battle definitely did get won at first, but, you know, we'll see what happens. Yep. And I think in general, lots and lots of fucking protesting and sort of revolutionary energy has happened in 2019. You know, the contradictions of capitalism are reaching a boiling point all around the world, in Chile, in Haiti, in Iran, in Bolivia,
Iraq, Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's fucking nuts. Oh, France even.
Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely.
France.
There was, it's also like this very like darkly karmic thing that happened where it's been in the news recently that people who were like on the U.S.'s side, like trying to foment or, you know, make the coup happen in Venezuela, ended up fleeing the country to the U.S. and are now like stuck in ICE hell, basically. Stuck in immigration hell. Which
Karma's
is insane.
A bitch.
Yeah. It's like, hopefully that makes anyone in other countries like much more hesitant to help the U.S. because it's like, they don't give a shit about you.
They do not give a shit about you.
We'll turn on you at the least fucking provocation. Yeah. You know, look at Trump's insane move with Syria and Rojava, mm-hmm. emboldening Turkey's attack. And then, you know, the silver lining is that the forces in Rojava have like an alliance going with Assad now, which is a much more anti-imperialist coalition. But, you know, they don't have the power to stave off these superpowers without the backing of Russia. So it's just really muddy. And the best thing that we can hope for is that there will continue to be proletarian uprisings.
Yes, sir. And speaking of hoping, David Koch died this year, and we can only hope every other Koch dies this year.
Yeah, rest in shit, bitch. Nobody misses you, and we hope your brother goes soon.
Yes.
Still one more day. We got one more day for his brother and Kissinger to maybe make, you know, the finish line there. So here's hoping.
Kissinger, Soros, Bezos, Gates, really just any billionaire or war criminal.
Well, Soros signs my Antifa check. Slow down.
That would be cool. Just like Antifa Thanos snaps his fingers and every billionaire dies. And he's like, I'm starting there. What do you want to do next?
Yeah, that would be good. I think 2019 had some pretty good deaths. Coke. Who else died? Was McCain this year or last year?
Don Imus just kicked it.
Yes. Who is Don Imus? He's a radio guy.
He was like a racist radio host who was constantly being racist to women's basketball teams.
Cool.
Right, he's just like the weirdest like specific thing to be racist about. He's just like doing slurs on just women basketball players all and frequently too. It was really weird.
I thought it was so insane that it's like literally in obituary headlines about him. It's like that's what they mention. It's like this is what he's most well known for.
Imagine dying and you're most well known for the fact that you were racist on a radio show. Oh God, that's gonna happen to us.
It's gonna happen to you.
All right, hold on. I'm dragging you all down with me.
I can never be canceled. Yeah. So you know, people die, and sometimes the right people die. So. Shout out to 2019 for taking David Koch.
Speaking of the right people, shitty things happening to the right people. Jordan Peterson, he had a hell of a fucking year this year. It came out that he was addicted to benzos and he went to rehab. To which we say, fucking listen to Juice WRLD, bitch.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, not a good person to die this year, Juice WRLD.
Well, no, I'm saying like I hope that Jordan Peterson listens to Juice WRLD and is inspired.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, he also I would assume that eating all of that meat that he was eating, he was like on a meat and blood only diet.
Health, yeah.
Yeah.
Insane.
Probably driving his addiction to benzos.
He had to have had gout and jaundice so bad by that point.
He looked
just like
awful.
Scurvy probably too.
Yeah, and he was saying it was like terribly dull. It was like, well, it's terribly dull and painful. It's like all this like negative stuff about it. So it's like that's the kind of mood you'll be when you'll want to pop some pills. Like nothing is going on.
Yeah.
You're eating you're drinking water and eating the same beef
it's like
for the 50th day in a row.
Cool. I'm maintaining my weird superiority, but at the same time, what's for dinner? I get meat with a side of meat.
Yeah, it sucks.
But I mean, Jordan Peterson not being talked about hardly at all this year is great.
Definite plus.
Yeah, that is true. In hindsight,
feel like
he wasn't really that relevant.
No one really gave a shit what he was doing.
They gave
he
a shit a little bit of a shit
from
in the beginning
YouTube
of the
recommendations.
Year.
Which was nice.
Yeah.
He's not popping up in the corner of my screen every time I'm trying to watch videos about planetary science.
I think his grift is kind of over, right? Like like people kind of got wise to his grift, and now like they move on to the next. Like everybody who was a Jordan Peterson fan is now just like watching like FaZe Banks or something. Like get you know.
Yeah,
just on stream.
Well, you know, as many conservative grifts as we can end, I'm down for it. Let's do Charlie Kirk next.
Yes, and I mean, shout out to Zizek for fucking ending that man's career.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, that like, ruled.
Like,
and like a lot of people were really skeptical about Zizek even going in and doing it. Right, there was a whole conversation about legitimizing it, and what it really came down to was the way he specifically handled it on that stage, and he did an excellent job.
Yeah, I mean, Zizek kind of came off as a little bit of liberaler than I would have liked him to, but like he still basically made Peterson look like a fucking moron, and like Peterson literally admitted that he didn't read anything. He like read the spark notes of the manifesto last night.
That was so funny. He was like, well, I finally picked up the manifesto so I can debate Marxism. And it's like, no, dude, that's not where it is. You notice how thin that book is? You can use that one as a bookmark for Capital. It's obviously the one you're supposed to read.
Aren't you a college professor and an author? Like, shouldn't reading like be pretty natural to you? I expected him to come in and like it at least have read or known something about Capital or known like one name of communism that wasn't Marx or somebody who administrated a country, but he didn't.
Or at least like, I mean, like you could basically read the spark notes for Capital and then read a bunch of like right wing arguments against it and like just pretend like you read Capital, like most people do. Like, so you could just like pretend that you are an intelligent person who has a reason to be doing that. But no, he's just like, I don't think he thought anyone was going to watch it or cared, but like, I think it was way more important to his fans that he made Zizek look like stupid, and he did not. Yeah. And it feels like people are just like, okay, well, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. So shout out to him for going away and dying silently. Yeah, but I think the most important news story of the year for me personally,
speaking of somebody who didn't die silently because he didn't die at all.
Correct.
Yeah, speaking of killing them with kindness, Jeffrey Epstein had quite the 2019. Jeffrey Epstein, as we all know, was a man who was hired by intelligence agencies.
was kind of inducted into this shadowy cabal of rich people.
He was an intelligence asset.
Loosely related to, because it's all done through many layers of, like, that's many layers removed.
Of course.
Yeah, there's a basement at Yale, and they bring all the freshmen down, and they make them jerk off in front of each other. Yeah.
That's called
Skull and Bones.
This
is some George Bush era shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Epstein, we don't have to go over what happened, but Epstein, I mean, like, this story has just been on my mind the whole year. You can't stop thinking about how what this has revealed about everyone involved in the ruling class.
Yeah, and in 2020, there will be a new entry into the DSM-6 known as Epstein Brain.
That's right. Which I have.
We all have it. Yeah, terminal case.
And
it's really bad.
I just feel like, you know, for me, that this was very radicalizing for a lot of people, because up until like literally 2 years ago, all of this stuff about, you know, the ruling class having, you know, sex trafficking rings and, you know, keeping all of this stuff quiet, and it was all conspiracy theory rumor mill, you know. Mm-hmm. This was like the weird
even though it was like all public knowledge shit. Like Jeffrey Epstein was found guilty like a decade ago,
but you sounded crazy,
right? Like nobody knew about it, really,
and they're trying to make us still sound crazy, but now we have literally like testimony from very trustworthy people, that we have admitted documents from government officials, and it's great. I'm happy.
It's everybody
to see,
too.
It's literally everyone.
It's the ruling class. It's the fucking royalty in England who, like, you know, shit had been said in this vein about them for a long time, and it was regarded as crazy. It's true. It's the Clintons. A lot of things have been said about them in this vein for a long time and been considered crazy. They're true. They don't go far enough. The same for the Trumps. The same for the Bush family. If you're a political dynasty and you don't have your hands in this, you're a fairy tale. You don't exist. You know, you don't get to be a political dynasty without appeasing the pedophiles, apparently. And that's something I think even the liberals are learning at the end of 2019.
Right, which is why it seemed so weird for people to call Trump a political outsider when he was friends with Jeffrey Epstein.
Exactly.
He's the glue, you know, he was the sort of like common denominator of all of these people. They're all hanging out with each other, all doing the most vile, evil things possible, because they're rich, because they rule everything and they can. So love to see it. Thank you, Jeffrey, for your service.
I don't think it's going to be the end. I mean, like, there's certainly going to be like more information that comes out. We don't know what's going to happen with Ghislaine. Like, we'll keep following it. But, you know, there were some really big bombshells, and there were also some really big disappointments this year.
Yeah.
Well, it's so insidious, too. It's like, what's going to happen with Kevin Spacey? now. Right. Is he going to make it to next Christmas to release another cryptic YouTube video that's bewildering and insane? I hope he doesn't. I hope that it all unravels around him.
It's not bewildering at all. He's literally just saying that he's killing his accusers. That video was released and then he murdered somebody. It's crazy.
It's really insane.
But, you know, shout out to everybody who's on this case, especially TruAnon, Briz, Brace, and Liz. Come on the show, please. Love TruAnon. Love your work. And everyone, please DM me any information you have about what's going on, because I'd love to think about it. But that's been the news stories of 2019. You were great. We loved you. We hate you. Fuck off. Goodbye, 2019.
I think that only leaves one more thing for us to do, and that is
smoke mids.
I guess that's two more things.
Oh, no,
I was supposed to wait.
Okay.
Yeah, hold on. I'll get my bowl out.
Yeah, go off, King.
Actually, wait. Chris, you're sick, so you can't smoke.
No, I'm not.
Bryn, do you want
smoke.
Some of this?
I'll be okay. We'll do it after.
All right. We'll do it after.
It's the thought that counts, though.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful.
All right.
Thought. I feel high already.
You guys, who wants to go first?
All right. What's the one more thing we have left to do, Todd?
Oh, say our resolutions.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
New Year's resolution. We sing Auld Lang Syne or whatever the fuck it's called, and we talk about what we want out of 2020.
Hell yeah.
I love that I only have to improve myself once a year. That's such a nice benchmark for me.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't really believe in resolutions. I don't usually make them. But for the purposes of this episode, I'm going to say that I would like to go to more, to finally join the organization I've been trying to join, which is for me the PSL. I've been working with them a little bit. And I would like to go to more meetings and make more time to, do work for them, work with them, see what they need, and just make sure that, because I believe that if someone had to make a prediction about 2020, I don't think Bernie Sanders will win the presidency, mostly because if I'm wrong, I'll be happy.
You gotta manage your expectations.
I'm just managing expectations.
Because then you'll never be disappointed.
I want everybody to do everything they can and want to do to try and get that man elected, because I think it'll be great for poor people of this country. I think it will, you know, even if it doesn't bring the revolution, I think it would be great for the country and for the people of it. But if he doesn't, I want to be prepared on what I'm going to do when we have another 4 years of Trump. And when I say 4 years of Trump, I mean a literal civil war for for the power structures of the country.
Probably.
So that's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would resolve to turn some liberals into Bernie bros, which hopefully all of them will when Bernie is nominated and they, you know, bend the knee and vote for Bernie.
Yeah.
And then turn some Bernie bros into full communists, you know, with a strong international support for other socialist movements around the world. And I think this kind of ties into what you were saying, Bryn, that it's like, I feel like even if Bernie doesn't win, it's like, even just as far as he's gotten is an amazing like ray of light for leftism in this country. It's like, he's gotten so many people interested in just the idea of socialism. And like, ideally, you know, he wins and can do all the things he wants to do. But like, secondary to that is that like, all the people who like and support him and are getting into politics because of him are like, okay, well, socialism's cool. I want that. It seems like Bernie can't do it all, so maybe I support not just electoral socialism, maybe not just socialism in the U.S., and that'd be amazing.
Yeah, that's a good strategy, I think.
John, what's your resolution?
I mean, my resolutions are simple. I just want to get more organizing done. I joined the SRA. I joined the IWW. Woo!
Hell yeah.
I'm going to try to figure out some like in-person meetings and stuff to go to. I had a really good time this year getting a chance to actually put my feet on the ground at a couple of labor events, especially the rally for the web tech workers that I went and covered for the pod. That was really, really inspiring. And I just want to do more stuff like that. I also want to get a better price on mids. So that's why I'm voting for Bernie Sanders, because of his ambitious Medicare for All plan. And if at all possible, I might want to figure out a way to potentially live closer to the pod. We'll see what 2020 holds for that.
We're going to try and get you out here.
Hell yeah.
And
we're scheming.
My resolution for 2019, get Bernie elected. And then, in order to do that, start many, many DMs, like group DMs on Twitter in which we coordinate harassment against the Buddy Gig supporters, the Warren supporters.
Wait, after?
The Biden supporters.
No, that's how he's going to do it.
No, no, that's this is how we're going to do it. Yeah. We're going to have, because posting is real life. Right?
It's really funny if your account gets banned because of this. Like Jack listens and he's like, "Wait a minute, targeted harassment, nuked."
I have so many accounts. I'm not worried. No, my real resolution is just do more. I'm gonna start like editing more leftist pods.
Because
I like editing and I'm trying to do more of that. You know, hit me up on Discord. I'm also trying to get enough freelance work where I can, you know, survive off that, which would be pretty sweet. And then we're once Bernie gets elected, we're hitting the white woman extinction button.
I mean, you can hit that. I'm not gonna do that. I like some white women.
Todd will not be returning for the 2020 season.
Todd died on the way back to his own planet.
Fuck.
Let's do another round of resolutions that are not political.
Were all our resolutions political?
Everyone Holy said shit. Like this is we just really care. This is honestly, I think all of our truth is that we worry way too much about politics and, you know, fixing the fucking fascist state that we live in. It's horrific and really hard and constantly anxiety ridden. So if you're in like a not absolutely fascist country like America, it's kind of hard for us to express to you how much it weighs on our mind. Like we're not saying this just for the show. Those were really our honest resolutions for the year. Yeah. So we're gonna do another round of resolutions that can't be political.
Oh, I want to go first. I want to learn how to develop 35 millimeter film.
Ooh,
nice.
Like in a dark
like
room,
like in my sink. Yeah,
sick. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Wow. I kind of want to learn to draw, like not even very well, but I just like the idea of being able to like kind of doodle in the margins of books and like notes and stuff. I don't know, something like that.
It's beautiful. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. John,
I want to get really good at shell jumps in Mario Maker 2. I don't want to be fucking up a level, getting to the last trick in the level, and just fucking it up and not being able to do a shell jump. Missing a shell jump in 2019 is shameful for the big streamers out now. I want it to be shameful for me by the end of 2020.
Very nice.
Beautiful.
Love that idea. Oh, I guess it's me. I don't know. I guess, I mean, the completely honest answer is like, lose 20 pounds. I don't know. Let's see. Also, I'd like to make a techno album.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that's dope.
That's awesome.
I know I've made drone albums. I've made some electronic music, but I like to make a straight up, like get really good at making techno.
Yeah, that sounds dope.
Sounds sick.
That
so
rips.
Hopefully that'll come up by the end of 2020. After my emo album, which is almost done.
Hell yeah.
And that's it. Tell us what your favorite things to do in 2020 will be.
Yeah, sound off in the comments. Or wait, we're not on YouTube. Sound off in the Discord.
Sound off the Discord, in
DM
the Twitter.
Remember to like and subscribe and hit that little notification bell.
But yeah, that's going to be it for us. This will come out on New Year's Day. So I hope you had a good New Year's.
Yeah. Hopefully while you're hungover or ordering pizza or something, you throw this on and you're like, yeah, my friends are here now.
Yeah. Yeah, but really honestly, though, let's get a little sappy and just thank our listeners because this has been a really crazy year. People have been asking us for all kinds of stuff. It's great to hear from you. Great to hear, feedback. And we're just really happy you're listening. So thank you guys.
Thanks. It's incredible.
We love getting to do this. And we hope that some of you also make resolutions to join organizations like the IWW, the SRA, the DSA, or the PSL, if that's more your speed. But, you know, do something. Just getting Bernie elected is not going to do it. Our resolution for 2020 is what comes next. You know, once we defeat the libs, how do we crush them?
Yeah, 100%. If all you can do is canvas for Bernie Sanders, like, you know, we're not trying to be elitist here. It's like, you know, maybe if you have the bandwidth or energy to start a chapter in a small town that you live in that doesn't have, you know, one of the organizations of your choice, like, that's great. Do it. We fully support you. Let us know if we can help. But if, you know, you just can go knocking door to door for a democratic socialists, hey, that's great too. So everybody does what they can. And we're going to continue doing what we can, which part of which is doing this show.
Mm-hmm.
And
smoking mints.
Hell yeah.
Being here for you in these dark times. So thanks so much for listening. This has been Beep Beep Lettuce from 2019.
Signing off.
Signing off.
Wait, this episode comes out on New Year's Day.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. It'll be 2020.
Happy New Year, beepers.
Beep on.
Love you.